This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so welcome all to the IDN implementation guidelines working group meeting on 18th of November 2015. We have Edmund, Matt, Chris, Dennis, Jial, Satish attending at this time, and also Ali Raza and Sarma Hussain from Icon Staff. So over to you, Edmund and Matt.
Thank you. Thank you, Samad. I guess we'll get started. A very brief agenda was shared, but before we jump in there, I guess just a note that it's good that we have a number of input from the action item from last night, which is to send in some items for discussion. The reason why I added a kind of review of reference documents before we jump into the stock-taking part in some of the discussion earlier today on the list is really to I guess suggest that that we should definitely reference some should definitely have a list of reference documents as a starting point. Especially for the first document that is being produced for which is a stock taking of the issues for public comments aimed for Marrakesh. So that's the motivation. Anything you want to add, Matt and others, before we jump into that?
This is Matt. I think it's a good approach.
So hearing no particular objection, please feel free to just, I guess in terms of organizing, just feel free to jump in until we are a little bit, if we get too chaotic, we'll take a list with a show of hands on, showing hands up on the Adobe Connect. So I guess we did touch on the subject in last meeting. I was looking at the minutes from last time. Identified a number of documents that we might need to take some stuff from, of course, from the current IDN guidelines, but also some of the policy documents that have been produced since, including from the GNSO and CCNSO, and also the applicant guidebook and the CCTLD fast track as well. There are a number of places where IDNs and how the second level should be accepted is referenced there, and I think Cal earlier also mentioned the registry agreement for GTLDs also have reference points, but I think what I'm trying to say is we should if staff could help us identify all those parts, then we can, rather than review the whole of those, many of those documents, identify all the documents that are relevant, and then also identify which parts of it would be relevant for this group. That would be, I think, a very useful starting point. Of course, I don't expect that to be produced now or in a very, very short time. I think it would take a good few weeks to use that. But what do other people think and about that suggestion, and I guess what do you think, Samad? Is that a possible way to try to pick up or stock take some of the items so make sure we don't miss anything?
So this is Samad. I'll let others comment first, and then I'll get in and also respond.
Okay.
This is Mark.
Thank you. So anyone have any thoughts and whether that...
This is Mark. My approach is that we should get as much as possible collected, and then we can remove things that we feel are not relevant. So, yes, I think it's a good approach. All documents that you have mentioned, but also RFCs covering IDN that we should list and have as many relevant or maybe relevant documents as possible. And from that list, we can then dig into the ones that we feel are most relevant and remove the rest or use the rest just as a list of reference.
Sorry, I forgot to unmute myself. Edmund here. Yeah, so I guess that's the idea, to do it in parallel. We're hoping that staff could help us identify those documents. I make a brief but already pretty long list earlier in the mailing list. The current guidelines, and I list the five sets of documents. Current IDN guideline, and then number two, policy-related documents from CCNSO and GNSO. That would include, in my recollection at least, that would include the GNSO new GTLD recommendations, which included an IDN workgroups outcomes report. So that part, and also for the CCNSO, there was a fast track. I guess PDP, or it's the long track report that was created. And then there is also the JIG report that had specific recommendations into the IDN guidelines. That is a joint IDN working group between the CCNSO and GNSO. Those are the few documents I recall for the bullet number two. Bullet number three, that's pretty direct, that the IDN CCTLD fast track document, and then the AGB where it's relevant. And then the fourth bullet point, IDN variant project documents. That would include at least, I think, the LGR document and the study, the IDN study team reports, and also the UX report. Those are, I guess, three reports that I think is going to be relevant for what we our work here. And then the fifth one is actually Matt mentioned all the RFCs that are the list of RFCs that are relevant to this. Any other ones that people can think of? I see Dennis' hand up momentarily. Was that an error, or did you want to add?
I wanted to add also the Unicode standard reports reference.
Good point. Any other suggestion? I guess this is not exhaustive, but I guess is just to get it started, and then pass it over to staff to help us with sorting through this set.
This is Mark.
Hearing
no further, even though
please go ahead.
This is Mark. Even though we should take the help of staff, I think we should lead the work we should decide how we should do this collecting. I mean, we have the wiki. I've not been able to use that yet, but I think that we together should create the list and and then ask staff to see if they can find more documents and have this list to work from.
This is Edmund. I agree very much. In fact, this is just off the, you know, just off the top of my head. These are the ones. But also, I think the suggestion would be in parallel, right after this particular discussion, we'll jump into, I guess, the substantive discussion, including the item you brought out. And that can come in parallel. But all the parts that, I guess this review would bring in is to make sure that we don't miss out, certain things that other documents are anticipating that the IDN guidelines would be, you know, would have some advice there for. So, you know, there are multiple documents out there already referencing the IDN guidelines, and we want to make sure that, you know, what is produced here matches back to it. That's the idea for the review, at least in my mind.
Hi, this is Sharma. I'd like to get in the queue.
Please go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to request you to please repeat what you suggested for the GNSO documents, and also wanted to add that we also have some SAC reports which are also relevant. Thank you.
Thanks, Ahmad. Yes, that's very good. The SAC reports are very important. So in my mind, there are two important things for reviewing all these documents, one of which is all the points where it references the IDN guidelines, so that we know that what we produce fits into, you know, those references. The other one is especially for the GNSO and CCNSO, there are policies that are written specifically for IDNs. We want to make sure those components are handy, so that when we talk about the items to put here, they reflect what is, and they don't conflict. And most importantly, they don't conflict with any policy recommendation from before, that will also make it more clear if we recommend anything here, whether a PDP is maybe further required. So that's the reason for the review in my mind.
This is Mark. I have two thoughts about what you said. Firstly, I think it's important to identify all documents that refer to the guidelines. But I don't understand what you mean that we should make sure that the reference does not break. I mean, they probably refer to a certain version of the guidelines, and we should try to make good guidelines, and that might mean that references to the previous version cannot be just transferred to the new version. But we should then try to inform the owner of that document that they should update the reference to the guidelines. That was my first reaction or thought. And the second one was, I think it's important to find out if there are any conflicts between what we will suggest and what says in other documents, and to identify such conflicts. And then if we identify such conflicts, then we should do a further investigation. And impossible to say now that we should avoid the conflict, so to say. It might be that we find that our standpoint is what should be the guidelines, not the other one.
Yeah, this is Edmund. agree very much with both of the comments, Matt. Yes, we're not limiting, you know, what we can do here, but, you know, to have those references in place, then once we have those lists, then we can go back and check whether there's any conflict. That's the point. Jen?
Hello, this is Jen Chang for Knet. I think this is an international group, right, international working group. And I think our guideline will finally apply to every country. So when we're talking about the reference document, maybe we can collect some local ID and guideline from different countries. So we can got we can find some maybe local reference. For example, Chinese has its own Chinese ID and guideline, and I can summarize and translate into English. And a different member from other countries can do the same thing. So I think that will be very helpful to find an internationally applicable guideline.
This is Edmund. I think, yeah, and Max, I think that's a good suggestion, and that's probably a good segue into the part where we want to, I think Cal raised the issue on the mailing. I think probably we can move through that as part of the approach in terms of how we do stock taking. But before we go there, any further comment on review or basically creating a library or a bibliography list so we could back and forth refer back to them. And try to get staff to help us build the first list. And Salman, does that clarify kind of what?
Right. This is Salman. So I have one comment in the context. Where there is short reference to IDNs, I think it can be appropriately summarized. I think what I wanted to understand further was that there are some documents here, whole of which I think in some ways refer to IDNs and are, many different parts relevant to second level IDNs. And in that case, how would you want us to actually summarize those documents, or would you want us to summarize those documents? Thank you.
Edmund here. So I don't think we're, at least for myself, I don't think we need to summarize anything at this point. I think what I'm looking for is a list of links to all those documents, and then so then the group can add or, if we can build an initial list, and then each one, identify the part where it is a few of them maybe most relevant to what it is. If the whole document is fully relevant, then just have the list there, just have the link there. And if because for example the new GTLD recommendations, only the IDN, only a few of the IDN recommendations would be relevant. So maybe. Can have a deeper link into that, or maybe quote which part of it, so that it's easier to refer back to. That's just kind of what I'm suggesting. Not summarizing anything.
Sure. So we'll start work on that.
Cool. And as Matt says, that's a starting set and. I'm hoping that the group can keep adding to it, so we have a comprehensive set. That's the idea.
So what we'll do is basically start maintaining it on the wiki page we have, and all of you should have access to it. So please feel free to come in and edit and add.
Perfect. Okay, I guess with that, then taking on what Jen mentioned about different, sorry, Matt?
I'm sorry, this is Max. Talking about the wiki, is there information being sent out on the list on where the wiki is, or is that clear for everyone except me? Wait, I'm sorry.
This is Armad. So the link has been shared, and if you don't have that link, Matt, please let me know, and I will share it with you again. As far as the accounts is concerned, I can work with you, and we can get you set up as quickly as possible within the next couple of days.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So I guess, Matt, you would take that offline and work with Samad. Matt. So as I was saying, now we segue into the next part, I think, which is, I guess, the stock-taking part and the substantive part. We want to try to catalog all the issues we want to potentially include in the guidelines, and I emphasize potentially because we might find out, you know, later on that will take back out a number of things, and that goes into the I wanted to bring up Cal's discussion on the mailing list. I think one of the things that is probably quite important is how we think about this, whether we are, you know, how much of substantive recommendation we will put here, and I guess Cal has the suggestion that we might want to try to defer many of the recommendations to elsewhere. And I see that Cal, you're on. I'm not quite sure exactly. You know, I understand the motivation and the suggestion. I'm not quite sure what types of forums you may be suggesting, and you know, such as if there are a few concrete examples that might be more useful. I don't know, Cal, if you're able to jump in to speak to that.
Sure. So this is Cal. I was thinking actually of a specific example earlier this year. The Unicode 7 analysis circulated in the IAB released a statement regarding the handling of the precomposed and decomposed forms of several Arabic characters. And what struck me at the time, and we were doing the informal portion of the IDN working group guidelines, was that that advice was pretty much abstract and unimplementable because of the way the guidelines, they excluded any update. So my point earlier today regarding the immutability of any specific advice that appears in the guidelines is my main concern. Anything that we put in there remains as long as we don't reconvene this group for another several years. And you can see that with the most recent guidelines still referring to transitions between IDNA 2003 and 2008. So if we are going to create a document that is contractually enforceable, I think we need to allow that document to be sensibly updated in the future. And by sensibly, I mean with the appropriate skilled groups. So if that's the various LGR groups, any community language working groups, or even the IAB, then that's how we should build it, rather than putting in specific recommendations which may be overridden and which then can't be implemented. hopefully that makes sense, and hopefully you grasp the principle there of not locking in stone something that we can't be sure will be appropriate for the life of the document.
Got it. Edmund here. Okay, that's much clearer, the intent, and I think, yes, that's, at least in my mind, I would like for this version to be more robust in terms of forwards compatibility. As you mentioned, I guess that's kind of what we want, right? Not necessarily fully forwards compatible, but at least it is structured such that, you know, when things change, it could potentially evolve in a sensible way. That sort of was the my suggestion or contribution earlier to categorize the things that we want to recommend, and then within those categories, in the future they might expand or contract, and also that we should, when we get into the substantive part of it, as you mentioned, we need to make it's ultimately going to be some kind of a judgment call anyway from the group, right? Which ones we should be, you know, more specific, and we think that it's going to last longer, and which ones we believe it might evolve more quickly over time. I guess nobody can really tell the future. Certain things might come up, but that being said, I think we should still have a kind of judgment call when we move there. And to be fair for earlier versions, the standards themselves were evolving much quicker in those previous years than it is now. It's becoming mature. Much of the work is kind of stabilizing as well. So I'm just reading from the chat room. Chris, you want to speak up, or you want me to just read it in?
Hello, Edmund. Can you hear me?
Yep. Please go ahead.
Oh yeah. I thought I had technical problems. All right. This is Chris speaking. So sorry. Which of my comments were you wanting to pick up? Is it the stability one?
Yeah, and the binding non-binding, I guess.
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm hoping that look, you know, there was a debate in on the mailing list about whether we could have binding and non-binding recommendations of the same document, but I'd just really like to suggest that unless there's some reason why we can't do it, that possibly we could proceed trying to put both sorts in there. So basically, I'm just saying that I have to vote on the liberal side of that question. Then as regards stability, so we've just been talking about IDNA 2003 and 2008. And actually,
Chris, you need to speak up a little bit, and your voice is a little bit soft.
Okay, I have to be slightly careful because I'm already speaking loudly, and I'm not alone in the building. Can you hear me now? Maybe it's...
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, yeah, okay. So what I'm saying is that I'm more familiar with rules for GTLDs, and those rules are probably much more strict than in other parts of the DNS, but with GTLDs, there is a lot of, you know, IDNA is a, you know, IDNA is a really key area, and basically, if something is changing its status across different versions of IDNA, then actually generation panel work at the moment, probably most of the time they're going to say this code point is not stable. So so with GTLDs, anything which is unlikely to be stable across these different versions is unlikely to get in. It is a different world, but we may to some extent we may be influenced by what's happening there.
Thank you, Edmund here. It's probably good to think about forwards compatibility, we still need to specify, I think, you know, which standards we are referring to. And if those standards change, we have to revisit our work. I don't think we can be comfortable to say, you know, this is recommendation based on IDNA 2008, and all future versions. I mean, that's probably too far ahead, because there might be changes that would require different sets of recommendations on for this document and on a policy point of view. But in general, I think I agree with, I guess, both Tao and Chris' suggestion, which is to as much as possible try to set it up such that it could roll forward unless certain things start conflicting with what the recommendations are.
This is Chris speaking, and you know, just to pick up some points in that, and also to talk about the word stability. So the word stability is defined very precisely in the GTLD world. So it's a really narrow definition, and basically it means that if it's unstable between 2003-2008, that's really the key of it. And if it is likely to be unstable in a future version, then in the GTLD world, they really are very, very conservative about stability. And I guess to a great extent it probably comes down to IDNA 2003, because it is so difficult there to change as the time goes by, because they have this rule that they have principles such as stability and conservatism, so they are very strict here. And for us, it does not mean that we have to follow those strict rules. In fact, we may decide that we really do not want to do that for all sorts of good reasons. However, the issue that comes out of that is if we are going to make recommendations which are different, then it would be very good if there were systematic differences between what they are doing and what we may be doing, because if it is not possible to express those differences systematically, then there are bad effects in areas like user acceptance and those areas, because the user then has to remember, if it's a GTLD, I do one thing. If it's a CCTLD, I do something else. On the second level, if it's this particular GTLD, then I do one thing. Oh, but if it's that other one, I do something else. And you end up in a sort of nightmare. So,
right.
So two things. One is stability, and one is systematic. You know, if there are differences, there would be something to be said for systematizing those differences. But it's really those two points I wanted to make.
Thank you, Chris. I think they are very important points, and I think including what Cal has recommended, that gives us a very good starting point in terms of what we should have in the back of our mind as we do the stock taking and all the issues. And at the later part in the, I think in our process, we'll then need to go back and say, hey, this is binding, non-binding, this is stable or non-stable, not as stable, and therefore adjust the wording in the, and kind of assign appropriate wording for the recommendation or whether that recommendation continues to be on the guideline at all. So,
Just a comment. I mean, my view is that the guidelines should be general. I mean, covering both the new GTLDs, old GTLDs, CCTLDs of different kinds. For some of them, it will be binding because of the contract, and for others, they will be just recommendations. And I think that the guidelines should also be useful for lower level domains. I mean, if you are on the next level, maybe you have a large domain and do something publicly, maybe a university or something, the guidelines should also be something that you could use for them. That's my view and approach.
Thanks, Matt. I think that's a very good point in terms of which level, you know, the guidelines cater for. In fact, we probably should not rule out that the guidelines apply to the top level as well. Nothing that, you know, that would be a starting point, but I don't think we should take that completely away. In fact, there are certain elements even now that it should apply to, that it might apply to the root level. So that's certainly something we need to think about, which kind of brings me to the next item, which is the substantive. Let's use the next quarter of an hour to tackle a few of the substantive items and see, you know, get my suggestion is to get a sense of how we want to deal with these and how we want to categorize them as well. If people are okay with the previous discussion, we kind of draw a line there and then maybe jump into three or four of the items that Matt has identified and try to have an active discussion there, because from that discussion, I think it would help us think about how to approach the entire document as well. Does that make sense for everyone? If that's the case, I wonder if Matt, I can kind of put you on the spot and say if you could pick out, you know, maybe three or four or five of the points and just walk us through that, and then we could discuss a little bit about it as a group and, you know, how we might deal with it should they be part of the recommendation.
Well, first one comment. The bullets I've listed, they come very much from the work with pre-delegation testing, which is my work. We do the validation of the IDN tables and policy of the UGTLDs, and we see several instances of errors and TLD is breaking fundamental rules. I mean, including disallowed the code points and not having correct contextual rules, etc. So the bullets I've listed, they are kind of real things that we have seen from the work. I don't know. I mean, picking out. Should we go from top and just take and let everyone have a chance to make a comment or question or something?
I guess the exercise that I think would be useful is if you maybe pick out three or four of them, group it together, and walk us through a little bit about the thinking. You mentioned the background of what this list came from. Walk us through, and then maybe we can then see if other people have suggestions on the specific issue, and also talk about whether this should be binding, or how much stability we have on these items. Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah, there are certainly some bullets that are unquestionable. I mean, bullet number two, never include a code point unless it has IDN property value, p-valid, context J or context O. It's very fundamental, and it says so in the standards. So it's probably not a question if it's a must or a may or something. The bullet after that, with the contextual rules for context J and context O, is also fundamental. If we go further down, implementing contextual rules for hyphen in the U label is also part of the standard. And actually, a thing that we have seen several times. I mean, you don't in the normal ASCII domain, you don't allow a dash in the beginning or in the end. But if you have that check on the A label, you might miss that the hyphen may not be initial or final or in position 3 or 4 in the U label either. So, but it's fundamental to the standard. Mixing of left to right and right to left code points, it's also part of the standard. Let's see if there's anything.
This is Edmund. Sorry for jumping in. I think this is a very good starting point for discussion. So you identified a few of the bullet points that are actually kind of implicit with the current IDN standards, that those basically you're flipping it around in saying that the standard says these two shouldn't coexist in a label, and therefore they shouldn't be in the IDN tables. You need to make sure that they don't mix together, right? That's the motivation on two or three other points.
Correct.
Then becomes, I guess,
yeah.
this
and also the motivation.
Hey, this is Jian Chang speaking. Hey, Matt, your list looks great, but I'm wondering whether your list comes from research or theoretical perspective or from a practical perspective. And in addition, is this your personal idea or your enterprise idea or from your community? I think those approach or those emphasis will be quite different for the this group's consideration.
Um, The bullets come from the practical work in pre-ligation testing, and some of the bullets are more kind of personal reflection, but most of them are part of the requirements of pre-delegation test, and actually the requirements of the new GTLDs. They won't pass if they break many of these bullets.
Oh, that's great. And I think we as a group, we cannot work out all of these items. I think it looks like too much from now. So maybe I'm wondering we can find out through a group members polling or some other process to say some of the most emergent thing, some are less emergent. So maybe that will be a better approach to identify what's the most important thing we should work on first.
Thanks, Jen, and thanks, Matt. Actually, I think Jane's point is good, but at the current time, we're doing stock taking, so I think we won't prioritize them yet. We should list as much of the issues we want, anyone wants to include, and then whittle it down. But going back to Matt's it seems like a few of the points you are a kind of interpretation, not really interpretation, a kind of implementation of the standard in the form of the tables. Is there possibility to perhaps collapse and consolidate those points and reference the standard and make a more simple explanation of it rather than make it multiple points and very specific?
Yes, of course. I mean, we could make the guidelines in many ways. My point is that the GTLDs do all these errors, and for some reason, and I think that the guidelines document could be a starting point for managers of a TLD or a domain, and to find what to look for, what to check for, make sure, like a checklist of everything that you should look at when you implement IDN, and then. Of course, refer to the standard document that, the hyphen restrictions are defined here in RFC so-and-so.
Right. So that Edmund here again. So I guess that brings us to kind of integrating with Cal's earlier point. Perhaps what we can do, I'm thinking out loud here and jumping ahead kind of quote-unquote implementation just because we're doing this exercise to test out how we might discuss this. So what we might be able to do is to document that says this is, follow the IDN standards. And under which there's sub-points where some of the clarifications that you point out are listed out and explained, but both make it non-exhaustive and also allow it to be somewhat forward compatible. If there are future documents that supersede it, then those set of requirements continue to be within the guidelines. Right? I wonder if that kind of makes sense for people. CTEL agreeing. And as Satish is typing, I'm guessing he wants to respond to that. If you want to try to speak up, you can do so as well. But on the point of the hyphen, that's interesting because that is one of the things that is non-IDN specific. I'm not sure whether that should be how we should handle that because the hyphen is just one case. I mean, there are other cases possibly as well. I can't think of it. But if there are other cases, then we might want to point to the RFCs again. Similarly, point to the RFCs and rather than specifically talk about the hyphen and also contextual rules for hyphen. If we do put a point there, we probably want to qualify it more clearly, specifically saying that it shouldn't happen in the beginning and the end, and quote the RFC relevant.
Yeah, I mean, these are just
a couple
kind
of comments.
Headlines, so to say. I mean, more text is needed, and we could, of course, discuss what to include and what not to include. I mean, this is just a list of things that I thought of to contribute.
Right. No, that's very useful, and which goes to the. I'm looking at the comments that are coming in from chat. And I guess, yes, it goes to what Chris mentioned earlier about a more systematic approach rather than just a few examples. I personally agree with that as well, and therefore, I kind of threw out a suggestion for us to think about the categories, before we jump into the actual, listing. That gives us a better, systematic approach. And in terms of Satish's question or comment, yes, I think for sure. We're just talking about a part of the final recommendations that is related directly to the standards document. I think there are other things, for example, non-mixing of script unless necessary. That has been in the IDN guidelines since the very beginning. For example, using a IDN or language or script tag, that's also in the guidelines from the very beginning. Those are definitely things that the guideline needs to cover as well. Hyphen is a good example. TLDs and 2LDs. Okay. Chris and Matt, do you want to use the voice rather than type, or you want to continue to type and keep reading your comments?
Hello, Edmund. I'm happy to talk about it as well. I had forgotten, so I was hoping that we might be able to use hyphen as a symbol of a systematic difference between the top level and the second level, but Matt's is reminded actually you can't use them in IDN, so it's not a brilliant example.
Right, so, okay, and conscious of time, we're at the top of the hour, but I guess, Matt, please go ahead.
Yep, I'm not sure what Chris said. I mean, you can use the hyphen, but not initial or final or position 3 and 4.
Thank you, Matt. I mean, you see, as a sort of a model example, then perhaps Python isn't all that bad, because basically, you know, it certainly can't be used at the top level. It can be used at the second level, but there are rules. So that's, you know, it is fairly systematic, and so we might be interested in looking for other differences that we might want to introduce. So I don't know, and this is possibly a bad example, but I'll mention it. But you know, we might decide that we would allow Arabic numbers to be used mixed in with certain other scripts at second level. But you know, it's very unlikely that that would happen at the top level.
Okay, and we might not get so detailed either, but I'm conscious of the time. We're past the top of the hour. I think just summarizing from today, there are a couple of action items from, first of all, the review of the documents from that staff will help put together. We touched on some of the basic parts, binding, non-binding, and, you know, keeping in mind all the touch points with all the other documents, which we'll come back to evaluate some of, you know, the substantive points. I guess between now and next meeting, I know this was kind of an action item from last time as well, but I guess this is also an action item this time. Matt started us out with a list, and I think, you know, it's a very good starting point. Satish and Jan, you also mentioned that there may be other items that we need to put in. Please do start throwing it into either the mailing list or the wiki. I guess next time we should probably think about how we start do the stock taking more systematically and at the wiki or the mailing list. But before we do that, please throw in as much ideas as you have first. I guess that's kind of all for me. Any last item that Matt, you want to bring up?
This is Armand. So are we meeting in 2 weeks from now? Next time, or 1 week?
2 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks.
Decide on the session.
Okay, and are we meeting on the Tuesday or Wednesday in 2 weeks?
And, I think both works for me.
So I guess...
Wednesday seems to be a good day. I'm thinking we have good attendance today.
Okay.
I guess let's plan for, if we can plan for the same time 2 weeks from now, and Samad, if you don't mind, get in touch with some of the others who were unable to join and see if it is not good for them. And if overwhelmingly, because we have good participation today, but there's still a chunk of people who are not on. So that might be, just getting a sense from specifically from a few of them might be useful.
Okay.
So 2 weeks from now, same time, barring big objection from those who aren't able to participate now.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any last word from anyone? Hearing none, thanks everyone for joining, and see you, we'll talk again in 2 weeks. Bye. Bye.